40 greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
What every player wants to be is the highest level of basketball. That's what you dream about as a kid, is to play at the highest level.
That's Kevin Durant, who played at a very high level in Game 1 of the 2017 NBA Finals. Durant fired in a game-high 38 points and added 8 rebounds and 8 assists to help the Golden State Warriors cruise to a 113-91 victory over the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers in Oakland, California. Game 2 in the best of 7 championship series is Sunday night in Oakland. After losing to the Cavaliers 4-3 in the 2016 NBA Finals, the Warriors added Durant to their already high-powered offensive attack. Cleveland star LeBron James tallied 28 points, 15 rebounds, and 8 assists in Game 1. At the post-game news conference, LeBron talked about Golden State's acquisition of Durant and the challenge of beating the Warriors.
You take one of the best teams that we had ever assembled last year, you know, that we saw in the regular season and in the postseason, you know, and then you know, in the offseason, you add a high-powered offensive talent like that and a great basketball IQ like that. You know, that's what stands out. I mean, it's no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, it is what it is, and we got to figure out how to combat that.
LeBron says one way to combat the Warriors in Game 2 is to cut down on turnovers. LeBron says he and his Cavaliers teammates simply made too many turnovers in Game 1. LeBron made 8 of Cleveland's 20 turnovers, compared with 4 turnovers for Golden State. Cleveland head coach Tyronn Lue.
When you turn the basketball over, they really make you pay. And then, you know, we can play a lot better. I know we will play better. And when we're not making shots and they get off, you know, in transition off of rebounds and stuff like that, they're tough to guard. So, you know, I know we can play better. We will play better. But we got to do a better job putting the ball in the basket.
Meanwhile, Golden State star Stephen Curry put the ball in the basket in Game 1, scoring 28 points, with 18 of those points coming off three-point shots. Curry says the team's attention is now on Game 2.
Focus with what's in front of you. You know, win one game. Now we look to Sunday to try to do it again. We've been here before and know there's a lot of work left to do. So, good start.
Now let's go to Cardiff, Wales, where Juventus will play Real Madrid in this weekend's big football match. At stake is the top prize in international club football, the UEFA Champions League trophy. The trophy was brought ashore by former Welsh star Ian Rush, who accompanied the silverware on a small boat in Cardiff Bay. The 55-year-old Rush says he's picking Juventus to win on Saturday.
I say, I think it's going to be a great game, you know, because I play for Juventus, you know. I'm going for Juventus, but I think it's only because the way they play as a team, you know, they work really, really hard as a team. And I think Madrid most probably have the best individuals out there, the world's best individuals, but I think Madrid play, if they score 2, they'll score 3. You know, that's how good Madrid are. But I think in Juventus, they might be a little bit more difficult to break down. And I think because they play as a team, that might just get them over the line.
Up to 170,000 people are expected in Cardiff this weekend as Juventus gets ready to play defending champion Real Madrid. The Assistant Chief Constable for South Wales Police, Richard Lewis, says security will be very tight.
On Saturday in the game, we'll have 2,000 deployments of officers and armed over the 24-hour period. And if you look at the whole of the event, the festival, we've got about 6,000 deployments of police officers. That's just unarmed police officers. And on top of that, we'll be deploying about 550 to 600 deployments of armed police officers over that time.
The Welsh police official says this is undoubtedly the biggest sporting event that Cardiff has ever hosted. A sellout crowd of 75,000 is expected at the National Stadium of Wales. On Thursday, a crowd of more than 22,000 at the Cardiff City Stadium saw Lyon win a record-equaling fourth UEFA Women's Champions League trophy. In an all-French final, Lyon beat Paris Saint-Germain 7-6 on penalty kicks after a goalless draw. Now let's go to Suwon, South Korea, where Zambia will be waving the African flag on Monday at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup football tournament. The junior Chipolopolo of Zambia will play Italy in a quarterfinal match. Andrew Kamanga is the president of the Football Association of Zambia. In a telephone interview from Lusaka with my VOA colleague James Buddy, the FAS president gives the junior Chipolopolo high marks both for their performance and preparation.
We've done very well with this same team because, first of all, we built the team from last year. We started preparing the team last year, and then we participated in a regional tournament called the COSAFA in December in South Africa, which we won. And then beginning of the year, we were going to host the Africa Cup Under-20 in February and March. So we took time to prepare the team by sending them to Spain. We had a couple of training games with the likes of Barcelona, Real Madrid, and a few other Spanish teams. So they came back and played in that tournament, which we won. So we are the current Africa Under-20 champions. After the tournament in March, we started preparing the team for this current World Cup session. And we participated in a four-nation tournament in South Korea. And we came out second, losing out to the host, South Korea. And then we came back and prepared the team again. We had to send the team to Spain for another two-week camp. And then from there, we went straight to South Korea. So far, we've played four games, lost one. We've made a bit of history in that it's the first time the country has reached the quarterfinal stage of this particular tournament. Obviously, the expectation is that they could still go far. We are facing Italy on Monday next week. But I think our credentials are speaking for themselves. And we've lived up to the billing of the true champion. And we are the only one of the four teams from Africa still in contention. So we've made the final top eight in the world, which by any standard is something to be proud of.
It sounds like a new day in Southern African football with the dominance of Zambia.
Yes, at this level, I think we've dominated. We hope that we can replicate the same standard at the senior national team level. Obviously, we've had our fair share of success with the senior team. The ultimate was winning the Africa Cup itself, the senior one, in 2012.
That's Andrew Kamanga, the president of the Football Association of Zambia. And he was talking with my VOA colleague, James Buddy, from Lusaka. As Andrew Kamanga said, Zambia will play Italy Monday in a quarterfinal at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in South Korea. Also on Monday, Mexico will meet England. The two other quarterfinals will be played on Sunday. Portugal will play Uruguay, and Venezuela is matched against the United States. In pro boxing, former world heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko is expected to announce soon if he'll fight a rematch against reigning world title holder Anthony Joshua. So says our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta.
Sonny, expect Vladimir Klitschko to trigger the rematch clause by next week. If that happens, it's a bigger fight, but I totally disagree with the rematch. If you go back and look at the first fight, Anthony Joshua was on the floor. He came up in the sixth round and then ended the fight in the 11th round. These two guys can punch, and these two guys have what we call China chin. It's a 50-50 fight. Remind you again, Klitschko looked really good in the last fight, considering the fact that he's been out of the ring for a long, long time. So going for an immediate rematch is a dangerous fight for both guys. If I'm their manager or their promoter, I'll get two easy fights for these guys. Pulev, Kubrat, and Joshua for the mandatory fight. Get somebody for Klitschko to knock around. And then we come back in 2018 and do the fight. But if we're going for direct rematch right now, it's a dangerous fight for both guys.
Nnamdi, in early May, an all-Mexican matchup between Saul Canelo Alvarez against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Canelo, unanimous decision victory. Are the pay-per-view numbers in?
Sonny, the pay-per-view numbers are in, and we said in the past, the Mexican fans are the number one boxing fans, and they delivered more than a million buy. More than a million buy, we're talking about the total pot will be more than $60 million, Sonny. And it was a beat down. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. did not come to fight. He just showed up to survive and pick up his money, and he got really beat down and made Canelo look like a monster.
And Nnamdi, I understand some social media controversy involving Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Like Donald Trump would say, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is a sorry loser. You know, he's a sorry loser because, one, he lost both in the ring and outside the ring, you know. And we say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But in this situation, what happened the night of after the fight, Julio Cesar Chavez had three escorts in the room. When we say escort, I mean, you've got to figure it out. Three beautiful escorts. And he was drunk, and they videotaped him. And then after the night, they walked away with his $3 million paycheck. These ladies, they don't joke in Las Vegas, man.
Did he recover that big paycheck?
Well, the girls couldn't cash the paycheck. The paycheck showed up in Los Angeles. The girls were unable to cash the $3 million check, man. That's what we call a sorry loser by Donald Trump. You get beat down in the ring, and then the girls took advantage of you. Had the video go viral and you look all drunk and then walked away with your $3 million paycheck in the bedroom. I'm a sorry loser, bro.
Well, Nnamdi, one man who's very familiar with big paychecks, Floyd Mayweather Jr. Again, there's talk that he's going to fight eventually Conor McGregor, the mixed martial artist from Ireland. What's the latest there, Nnamdi?
Sonny, the bread for this fight is so big that they don't know how to cut it. I mean, this fight will break. It will break so many records because, for a start, you know, Conor McGregor has agreed to fight. He's signed to fight. Conor McGregor has picked up his boxing license from Nevada State Athletic Commission. Floyd Mayweather has agreed to fight. So, and they have lost their September 16 date with Canelo and Triple G, taking that date away from them, you know. So now we're looking at maybe November or December for this fight. But we hope they will break bread soon. And when they break bread, Sonny, this fight will almost generate $500 million, Sonny, because everybody wants to see the fight. There are haters that don't want to see the fight. Boxing purists and boxing gurus think it's an insult to boxing for a pound-for-pound king. Take a guy who's never had one pro fight, you know. But we don't look at it that way. We look at it as an entertainment, and it will make you want to come out and see if this guy may get lucky and tag Mayweather on the chin, and Mayweather will go out. And that's where the money will be.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
In early July, Nnamdi, the Pac-Man, Manny Pacquiao from the Philippines, back in action. Tell us about that fight.
Sonny, it's a fight against Jeff Horn that nobody really cares for. But, you know, Pac-Man is a global star. And this fight will happen in Brisbane. And this fight will be in a stadium that holds 55,000 people. and it's a title fight. The fight's almost sold out. And then you wonder, why will Pac-Man take on a guy that nobody really knows about? But hey, 55,000 Australians want to be entertained on July 2nd, and it will be a good fight.
5 months of 2017 have passed, so we're not quite halfway through the year. It seems like it's been a great year for boxing. Your thoughts?
Oh, Sonny, remember we talked about this at the end of 2016, the beginning of 2017, that it's going to be a monster year for boxing. I mean, look at the crowd that are coming out to see the game, the fight game in England, 27,000 for Kell Brook and Errol Spencer, 90,000 for AJ and Klitschko, and then we got the Triple G and Canelo coming up, and all the venues are trying to pick up the fight. The fight game is huge now. And then we'll look at the pay-per-view numbers and the Canelo pay-per-view number, more than a million buy. This is the biggest year for boxing, I would say. The superstars are stepping up and they're fighting each other. Promoters are making the fights that the fight fans want to see. And finally, we have a heavyweight that brings excitement, you know. I mean, we have a heavyweight that will guarantee you a knockout or a knockdown. So the excitement is there. The fans are coming out. The arenas are sold out. 2017 is a big year for boxing.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Happy Friday and sporty greetings, Andrew.
A very happy Friday to you as well, Sunny, and sporty greetings.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this festive Friday?
Festive Friday. Festive for the Golden State Warriors, for sure, walloping the Cleveland Cavaliers. Game not only inspiring a lot of key moments from the players, but a couple of key memes, and we'll get to those in a second, but a nice piece of sportsmanship from LeBron James after that game and his team gets walloped. There's video of LeBron walking to the locker room, the first Cleveland player off the court, but instead of going right into that locker room, he stops and he high-fives every one of his teammates coming off the court to give them a positive boost of energy. People saying it shows he's a true leader and a great sportsman. However, some Golden State fans saying he high-fived his team, so what? Not a big deal. But most people are saying it was good sportsmanship on the part of LeBron James. Now let's get to those memes, because that's the fun part. other than, of course, if you're a Golden State Warriors fan, the fun being that they won. So the camera last night caught LeBron's face at just the right time, where he's staring directly into the camera with a look that's been described as a mix of maybe anger, annoyance, disbelief, shock, just kind of this blank stare that you get from LeBron. So lots of people having fun with that, saying it's the face that you make when you're playing a healthy Golden State team. It's quite accurate, I'd say. The face that you make when you realize Rihanna is at the game. I guess if he caught sight of her on the sideline and said, wait a minute, Rihanna's here. The face when you make when your phone goes off in church, people trying to extrapolate their own personal experiences into that face. And the face you make when someone says rich people don't experience racism. Now, this actually references another viral moment that happened earlier yesterday when sports journalist Jason Whitlock, who's African-American, said that rich and famous people like LeBron James don't experience racism. This comes in response to the incident we talked about yesterday where a racial slur was spray painted on LeBron James' garage at his house in Los Angeles. So Jason Whitlock saying African-Americans who are rich don't experience racism, getting a lot of criticism for that opinion on social media, even calls for him to resign from his job as a sports writer. So very controversial moment. But most of the memes with LeBron's face have been fun. They're saying it might be the new crying Jordan. If we're talking about his goatness and going after Michael Jordan for the greatest of all time title, this could be maybe the new meme that we see.
Andrew, you mentioned the music star Rihanna being courtside for Game 1 in Oakland. As I was watching the game on ABC television, she apparently walked by the ABC broadcast booth during the game, during the play-by-play. Jeff Van Gundy suddenly stopped talking about the game and switched his attention to Rihanna. Just like that, he goes, this is about Rihanna now.
Now there are very few people in the world who can do that, who can, walking through an arena, actually change the scope of a conversation on national television. But I'd say that she's one of those people that can do that.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
So equal opportunity on the memes. We had one from LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we have another one from Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry making a long three-point shot, and he celebrates in a rather unusual way with two high leg kicks. First, the left leg goes up to about hip height, then the right leg goes up, kind of almost like a can-can dancer. In fact, that was the joke that many people were making. Maybe he can find a second career as a can-can dancer or a Radio City Rockette with their they do the kick line at the end of that show. Some people joking he's trying to show off his shoe deal, maybe. And then the photoshopping began, with people photoshopping Steph Curry into photos kicking a football through the uprights in a National Football League game, saying, it's good, fighting karate or fighting ninjas with that high kick. So lots of fun people are having with that. But just as LeBron has his detractors, so does Steph Curry. Some people saying it was an arrogant way for him to be celebrating hitting that three-point shot. He should have been a little more respectful. So to each his own. It depends, I think, on which side you're on this epic battle in the NBA final.
Epic battle, and it's a rematch. It's the first time that two teams have met three seasons in a row in the NBA finals. So historic NBA finals in many ways.
Indeed it is.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we talked about LeBron James's great sportsmanship. And yesterday on the show, we talked about Juan Martín Del Potro at the French Open being a great sport to his ailing competitor, Nicolas Almagro, who had to retire with a knee injury, sat there and comforted him as he was sobbing. Well, we saw that this sportsmanship is contagious in Paris. We saw actually a scary incident earlier today. The 10-seed Belgian David Goffin sliding to get a ball on that slippery red clay there in Paris, and he catches his foot on a tarp lining the back of the court, and he goes down, actually injured his ankle. He was unable to continue to play that match, so he had to retire from that match, which means his opponent, Horacio Zaballos of Argentina, moves on. But Zaballos, after Goffin left the court to get medical attention, Zaballos stayed on the court, packed up Goffin's bag, and then brought it to him outside the locker room, left it for him outside the locker room. So Zaballos is picking up some big fans for his sportsmanship, saying it's another instance of great sportsmanship in tennis at Roland Garros. And the best news of all, words come out that there's no major injury for Goffin. He's just sprained his ankle, but no broken bones, no ligament tears, anything like that. So good news on that front, even though he wasn't able to finish the match. But lots of great sportsmanship we're seeing at the French Open so far.
Good sports indeed in Paris. That's VOA's Good Sport. Andrew Palcheski, thanks, Andrew, and have a good weekend.
You too, Sonny. Thanks.
And that wraps up the June 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The fight against ISIS in Iraq and Syria has accelerated, said U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. In an interview with CBS News, Mr. Mattis said the U.S.-led anti-ISIS coalition has shifted from what he called attrition tactics, where ISIS terrorists are pushed from one position to another, to annihilation tactics, where the terrorists are surrounded and destroyed. Our intention is that the foreign fighters do not survive the fight to return home to North Africa, to Europe, to America, to Asia, to Africa, said Secretary Mattis. We are not going to allow them to do so. We are going to stop them there and take apart the caliphate. Secretary Mattis noted that while the tactics and the tempo of the anti-ISIS fight have shifted, there has not been a change in the rules of engagement. There is no relaxation of our intention to protect the innocent, he said. We do everything we can to protect the civilians. Defense Secretary Mattis said there is no question but that ISIS is going to go down. But he emphasized the fight involves more than just an army. It is also a fight about ideas. We have got to dry up their recruiting. We have to dry up their fundraising. The way we intend to do it is to humiliate them, to divorce them from any nation giving them protection and humiliating their message of hatred, of violence. Anyone who kills women and children is not devout, Secretary Mattis said. We're going to strip them of any kind of legitimacy. Secretary Mattis warned that while there is no question the coalition will shatter ISIS's sense of invincibility in their physical caliphate, we are going to watch for other organizations growing up. We are going to have to continue to keep the pressure on the enemy. There is no room for complacency on this. Complacency, no. Conviction, yes. Asked what keeps him awake at night, Secretary of Defense Mattis answered, "Nothing. I keep other people awake at night."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Golden oldies, classics, hot new jams, promising newcomers. That's what's up this week on Music Time in Africa. You'll hear awesome tunes from Malawi, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Mali, Guinea, Ghana, and Nigeria. Plus, Newsflash South African Music Awards. It happened May 27th, so get your update and find out who came out on top. Don't miss it, peeps. Stay cool, stay current, and stay connected to Music Time in Africa. Tune in this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15 and 2000 UTC. Yo!
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.